Today's short Old Testament reading is an important one in Christian theology. In Paul's writing, the last sentence of that passage we heard is foundational. And Abraham believed the Lord, and the Lord reckoned it to him as righteousness. As you know, the Jewish religion of Jesus' day had many laws. The Ten Commandments, as we call them, form the backbone of the law of Moses. But there are many other laws which range from civil to religious laws. And the Pharisees spent much of their time interpreting the law of Moses for the first century and became overly law-bound. Jesus criticized them for getting caught up in the little details of legal interpretation and losing sight of the main purpose, which was to love and serve God. That was the original purpose of the law, to live in a way that demonstrated or even manifested their relationship with the one wild and amazing God. But there were two problems with thinking that obeying the law was the path of righteousness or the path of right relationship with God. One was that it was very hard. Paul even suggested that the law caused people to sin. And the other problem was, what about the people who lived before the law was established? People like Abraham. Abraham did not know the law of Moses because it did not exist back then. But as we heard, he believed the Lord, and the Lord reckoned it to him as righteousness. So Abraham was brought into right relationship with God just because he believed God's promises. Of course, the law was only part of the Jewish religion. The other part was temple worship. And the project of the writer to the Hebrews, who wrote our second lesson today, was to interpret the work of Jesus Christ within the context of temple religion. And it is from Hebrews that we get the metaphors of Jesus as our great high priest, whose sacrifice once for all does away with the necessity of temple sacrifice. In today's passage, that second reading, which comes toward the end of the letter to the Hebrews, the writer is exhorting their readers to stay faithful. A few verses before this passage, they wrote, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for the one who has promised is faithful." It is because God is faithful that Abraham was able to be faithful, that we too are able to be faithful and faith-filled. And in the chapter of Hebrews from which our reading was taken, chapter 11, the writer mentions 17 Old Testament heroes, 17 plus the people of Israel as a whole, who lived their lives by faith. But for us, faith is something of a slippery concept. Sometimes we think of faith as believing impossible and unprovable things, or as believing a statement or a system of facts, such as the Nicene Creed. There's a really rousing hymn, "Faith of Our Fathers," with the refrain, "Faith of our fathers, holy faith, we will be true to thee till death." We will not be singing this hymn. I'll sing it to you on the balcony later if you want. But it ignores our mothers, aunts, and uncles, but more importantly, or as importantly, it implies that the faith is a thing to be identified and guarded and kept safe from intruders. On the other hand, in the New Testament writings, we read statements like, "If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." And this sometimes makes it seem that all that is required to walk in right relationship with God is that we give some kind of intellectual assent to the idea that Jesus is Lord and was raised from the dead. That kind of faith is like the faith I have in Ecuador.
I really like this part.
Ha ha ha. I have heard that there is a place called Ecuador. I know people who have been there. I see it in the Atlas. I have no reason not to believe that Ecuador exists, though in these days of fake news, it might not be true. But my belief in the existence of Ecuador has no impact on my day-to-day living. In fact, I rarely even think about Ecuador. As Jill will attest. Now that, my friends, is not the kind of faith that today's lessons are talking about. The faith that was reckoned to Abraham as righteousness, the faith that led Abraham to set out on a journey to who knows where, the faith that is the assurance of things hoped for, is much, much more. It is a faith that grows and changes. It is a faith that impacts every part of our hearts and minds. It is a faith that gives hope and life. And as the writer to the Hebrews said, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for the one who has promised is faithful. God is faithful, and that is our hope. Our faith is in response to God's faithfulness, God's love. We are called individually and as the people of God to walk with God in mutual love and faithfulness, and every step we take, every God moment that we recognize, increases our faith. God is calling us all into covenant with God's self. And that's what we're doing here this morning. We are reminding ourselves that God is faithful, and in the Eucharist we are responding to God's love and faithfulness by renewing the covenant made at our baptism, by renewing our covenant to walk faithfully with our God. Remember the verse from Micah, sometimes called the Micah mandate? He has told you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? But to act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. That is what faith is about. Believing in Jesus is a way of life. It is living in the reign of God, always ready and expecting to see God in every moment. Like those, as Jesus said in the gospel reading, who are waiting for their master to return any moment from the wedding banquet. Today, Ecuador seems irrelevant to my life. But if I were to move there, it would suddenly become incredibly relevant. I would see the landscape, live in the environment, eat the food, come to know the people, learn the civil discourse, and even join in a fiesta. The faith to which we are called moves us into the reign of God, in such a way that our faith becomes as integral to us as breathing. This is not going to happen overnight with a quick airplane ride. We journey into the reign of God more slowly, just as Abraham traveled from Ur of the Chaldees to Egypt, and his descendants went back north into the promised land. Our journey requires commitment and faith that the one who has called us is faithful. For there are often detours and times of discouragement, which is why we journey together. After they say, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for the one who has promised is faithful, the writer to the Hebrew continues, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Hope is reinforced, faith develops as we journey together, sharing not only our hopes and fears, but our God moments, our inklings, and our understandings. People of God, when we walk in faith, God does not expect us to believe things that seem incredible. God expects us to walk with her in faithfulness, in the faith that sees God in all things, and which leads us to live our lives as if the God in all things really matters. For she has told you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, and to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. And Jesus said to his disciples, do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom.